And peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the epistle lesson, especially verse 22. Indeed, under the law, almost everything is purified with blood, and without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness of sins. It's okay. Old-fashioned preaching, and in our day, has become more and more of an unpopular message, this preaching about the blood of Jesus. Do you know people leave churches over this? Over pastors who insist on getting up and talking about the blood atonement, the blood washing us of our sins, the blood of Jesus, the blood shed for us, and without blood, no forgiveness of sins. And some of the comments that can be made are, all this talk about blood, do you want to do that in front of the children? And the answer is, yes, we have to talk about blood and sacrifice, and we will talk about sin and guilt and about cross and forgiveness and about how we need the forgiveness that comes through the blood of Jesus. And we are told, well, then Christianity is an old-fashioned, out-of-date religion full of blood and shame and guilt and modern man. Well, we've advanced well beyond those things. It's all about, they say, all about simply loving your neighbor in this world, about spirituality deep inside, about those things that have to do with this world. And then the challenge goes out to Christians. And it sounds like an odd challenge, but it is there and it's been growing for a number of decades. I've watched through the history of it and seen. Here's the challenge. Prove that you have something to offer for this world, Christians. Set aside all of this talk about heaven and the soul and about eternity and sin and forgiveness and about standing before God on judgment day, and simply prove that you have something worthwhile offering for this life and for your neighbor in this world. Can you do it? Do you remember years ago when the Olympics were in Australia and the closing ceremony featured the crowd singing and swaying back and forth? Imagine there's no heaven. Seize it if you try, no hell below us, above us only sky. Imagine all the people living for today. And you want to talk about blood and shame and guilt and forgiveness of sins and about sins and guilt within the soul? Puts you out of step with that challenge. But listen to Paul. If we have hoped in Christ only for this life, we are of all men most to be pitied. And the thing with that modern religion of it's about this world and what you can do for this life leaves a hole. It leaves a huge emptiness inside. And you think about in our nation and in our culture, all of the young people who are taught day after day after day with things like, well, they share this with me, with things like, quote, science proves that there is no soul. Science proves that there is no God. Now we're saying this publicly because it is publicly taught to our children. And you think about growing up with that hammered and hammered and hammered at you. What does that leave you? A huge emptiness in the sense that you as a person are not important. And I heard this back as early as in the 1960s that true religion really means to look at the vastness of the universe and realize your own insignificance. Really? true religion has to do with your relationship with God. And out of that relationship with God, what does that mean for your relationship with others? But it has to begin with where you stand with God. So Christianity cannot retreat. We have to be stubborn. We have to say back, no, there is a demand. And Christianity is a religion where there is blood. The blood of Jesus shed for us. The blood of the covenant. The blood that covers our sin. The blood that washes us clean. The blood of Christ shed for us. The place of blood in Christianity starts with the demands of the law. Can you satisfy the demands of the law? Can you be right with God? Can you do these things? Can you earn eternal life? Can you earn heaven? Apostle Paul felt that very sharply and said, I know that nothing good lives in me, that is in my sinful nature. I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. What I do is not the good I want to do, the evil I do not want to do. This I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will free me from this body of death? And so we understand. No matter how much modern man wants to move beyond a religion that demands and a religion that has law and a religion where God will judge us and we must stand before him, no matter how much modern man wants to be sophisticated and set those things aside, we both know deep inside that this is the reality and we will stand before God, and deep inside we cry out for that, because if there is no meaning, if there is no standing before God, if there is no right and wrong, if there is nothing of this, then we don't mean anything. We need that relationship with God. We need it desperately. And so even King David, when he was under judgment by God, he knew that he needed that relationship or he was lost. To wander freely off without there being a right and a wrong and a moral and an immoral and a judgment, whether approving or disapproving on his actions, meant that he was lost and there was nothing. The place of blood in Christianity also then goes to the sacrifices. And it's from the beginning of the world all through human history until it comes to Christ. Every one of the sacrifices in the Bible points to the blood of Jesus and his suffering. The writer of the letter to the Hebrews in this passage, he stops off at one of the sacrifices of Moses. And he starts describing it. He took the blood of the sacrifice, he put it on the altar, he put it on the people. The blood is applied to most everything. And he says, without the shedding of blood, there is no forgiveness. That is, there is no way back to God. Well, then, go forward in history. And one of the oddest occurrences of the meaning of the blood happens on Good Friday as Jesus is standing trial and the crowd gathered around. What do they shout? His blood be upon us and on our children. What they mean is we take the guilt and the responsibility for his death, but the words of the prophecy guided by God, they point to something else completely different. His blood be upon us and on our children? Why, that's the idea all along. that his blood may be upon us and on our children for the forgiveness of sin, for the cleansing from sin, for the wiping away of guilt. That was God's plan from the beginning of the world, that the blood of Jesus should be over us, freeing us and making us clean. Like the great multitude in Revelation are described, they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. We need that cleansing. So, this is a truth that cannot be escaped. Around the world, there are some who scorn the old-fashioned religion of blood. But you watch, in religion after religion, people try and earn the favor of God, or earn the favor of heaven, or earn the favor of the ancestors, whatever. And then try and earn that through pilgrimages and suffering, and yes, through some of the shedding of their own blood. Or it was just Reformation Day, a little over a week ago. What did Martin Luther do when he was in the monastery and felt the guilt and the shame of sin so powerfully? The self-flagellation until the blood flowed. No escaping from it. Modern man tries to get away from this kind of religion. Find a nice God who tells us to be nice to each other, and then he'll be nice to us. But again, a deep emptiness. And the culture wanders into things that have to do with blood, with odd things having to do with suffering. Yeah, we just also had Halloween. There it is. And somebody saying this to you is one that had his house a little bit decorated. You can see the pictures on Facebook. Two eyes on the second floor. And it was, the kids said, "Ooh, that's really creepy. We got to go there." And so they came and we handed out candy and had a great time. You know, Halloween in the Christian church, as we took it over, what it was all about is saying, well, there are powers of evil, but they got stamped and ground into the dust by Jesus Christ, and now they're without power, and let's have an evening of laughing at the devil. That was what the idea was, which is not a bad idea. Spend an evening laughing at the devil because his power has been stripped away. So, back to the sermon. So we are confronted, and no matter how we want to get away from it, no matter how sophisticated we want to be, here's a demand from God through his word, and it requires blood. Why? Two-part answer. Why does it require blood? Because you look back at what sin is. And sin is a serious thing. It is not only making a mistake, it is a rebellion against God and against his word and against the life that he gives. And what was his pronunciation over Adam and Eve? In the day of you that you eat of it, you shall surely die. That's how serious it was. Death for this life, death at the end of this life, death for eternity. And in order to buy us back, there had to be a death to purchase and win us, to ransom us, to pay the price that we could not pay. and to set us free so that we can be children of God once again. That's our story. It's the story of salvation. And it is the greatest story in the history of the world. Why, in fact, it is the story of history. Second reason, why? There is a cost of salvation. And the cost of salvation is measured out in God Himself coming into this world and being willing to pay the price to set us free. He makes Himself the ransom. He trades Himself for us to give us His heaven, His eternity, His blessing, His life. And then, here's an advertisement. Tuesday morning Bible studies, they are absolutely great. Part of it is, we got into a question on Tuesday, and somebody said, heard this question before, I've watched as others have tried to answer it. The question, could God have saved the world some other way? Oh, fantastic question. You know what the answer is? Yes, but what do you mean by salvation? Could God have saved the world some other way? Well, just bang the gavel as the judge and say, I judge you forgiven. But in that forgiveness, does it change the heart of man? In that forgiveness, would it involve taking away the free will? Would that kind of salvation, would that be enough for God? Or does He desire more? Well, He desires more. And because He desires more, He has to go that extra measure. And so Jesus had to come into this world to lay down His life, to shed His blood, to bring us the new birth, the new heart, the new beginning of us. And God saw me before I was me. He also saw the redeemed me before I was redeemed. He saw the Christian me before I was Christian. He saw the faith in me before there was any faith in me. In fact, He put it there. And God wanted for me, and He wants for you, to have that relationship with Him that comes from a new heart and a new beginning, that comes from that absolutely restored and that responding to God in faith and hearing His word and having the word of God coming to us within our soul and from us back to God in our confession of faith and in our prayers. And in that relationship, God wants that kind of salvation. Can we go another lap on this? Is that good enough for God, or does He want more? What do you think? He wanted more. Because He wanted more, He did the salvation by God the Son, second person of the Trinity, being born into our world to be one of us. And in the being one of us, joining Himself to us for all eternity, joining us to Him for all eternity, so that when Paul comes along and he says, we are the body of Christ, you know, that's not just figurative language. There's something very serious about that. He made Himself one with us, took our nature, took our human stuff on Himself. And He is permanently one of us, our human brother. And in that, He then also takes us and makes us one with Him. So that this eternal life, is it the eternal life of Jesus? Why, yes. And because it's the eternal life of Jesus, that eternal life flows through us. The Word of God, is that the Word of Jesus? Why, yes, and because it is the Word of God, that Word of God fills and runs through our souls and our minds and our hearts. God wanted that intimate salvation of being joined so closely to us and us to Him that nothing can separate us for all eternity. That's the salvation God wanted for us. And so, what an amazing God we have. What an amazing salvation we have. What an amazing destiny in heaven and eternal life. And being children of God. And belonging to Jesus forever. What an amazing thing this is. In Jesus' name, amen.